Wait, is it not plugged in all the way? Ah, ha, ha.
Did you unplug it?
Oh.
It was back in.
Good God. Okay.
No, wait.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that sometimes sets its beverages too close to technology. I just got worried.
Oh, yeah.
We also bring you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, our, what should I say, tense relationship with technology. I don't know what you wrote. I've been doing this by memory,
doing
and then
live.
I realized, like, wait a minute, I got to say something here.
Am I tense because I use technology, or did technology make me tense?
And we will answer that question in this next hour.
That's right. We're here with a friend of the show, Max Surgeon, and brand new donor, David. Hello, how do you do?
I'm doing good. It's no pressure on the whole, like, solving the whole question.
I know. Yeah. Well, you came prepared with copious handwritten notes. So.
I didn't say copious. I just said handwritten.
Okay, you have handwritten notes, which makes me think that they're copious. They're certainly more copious than ours, I would assume. Speaking of
dead air.
It's okay. We're back. It's
deer
all
in the headlights.
It's why we have so many pieces of technology in this show about simpler living.
What just happened?
Oh, you know, maybe it was when you turned the monitor on.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's all good.
Yeah. So, I killed the momentum.
No, it's all good. Thank you, David, for coming in.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
You also brought us these. Are we allowed to say where these came from?
Absolutely. You can buy them directly from Skullcraft, so there's no, like, contraband or anything on the pens.
Okay.
So,
we have
even
US,
though they say.
U.S. government issue ink pen and lead pencil or graphite.
No. The pencils are from a different company, but the pens are, like, they're the ones that were everywhere.
How many times do I click this pen before I explode?
You'll find out.
Okay.
Can I single click or double click?
That's a mouse.
Oh, never mind. Okay. And
it depends. Is it on the taskbar or is it on the desktop?
Right. That's the question.
Right.
Or
which
is
window
not,
is at the front?
Is it a hyperlink or a hypercard?
Ooh.
So also these field
throw
notes
in the
books.
80s Mac references. Wow.
Yes. Thank you. I go way back with tech, which is why we think about it so much, probably. Yes, thank you for joining us. And we're going to talk about tech and how we think about it in an ever-increasingly technological age in which we still strive to be somewhat simple about our lifestyle. So, yeah, thank you for wearing that mantle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to be the, like, guru or something, I guess. I don't know.
And some of you might remember David from the episode, the bonus episode in which he came in and tried to install RAM into our old Mac.
In other words, in which case I failed to improve the show.
Well, no,
and they
well,
invited me back anyway.
You improved the show because you told us that, hey, this is as good as it's going to get. You need a new machine. And now we have one.
Did I actually say that?
Oh, no.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well, it was heavily implied. I mean, you did inform us that we were maxed out on RAM.
As it were.
Yeah.
So, it was was the kick in the pants we needed to be like, you know, we can no longer repair this. These pieces of RAM are head badges. And did we give the other RAM back to Tim Mooney? Because I think he mailed us some.
I think.
No, you sent it home with me. So I can send it back to Tim if he wants.
Well, there was still some other chips hanging out. Because last time he was in the studio.
Oh, did I leave it here?
I don't remember.
Last time he was in the studio, he took them with him.
Okay.
Oh,
there we
maybe
go.
I'm wrong then.
Well, there was talk about, you know, the possibility of making head badges out of them for his bicycle. So I don't know if that's
maybe
been
that's
done.
Maybe that's what he did with
but,
them.
But yeah. So anyways, Aaron, you and I had an adventure this weekend.
Did we ever?
Speaking of, like, simplifying the good life and doing something that is neither simple nor, I mean, it was purely pointless climbing.
Yeah.
Is that
fair? I would say there was very little point in it whatsoever. I mean, now we can say we did it.
Yes. Ron PDX, which is, it's an anonymous route, right? Like a couple of years ago, you know about this, David.
Only from listening to you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rond is, it's a course that was come up with by some guy who likes, maybe likes riding bikes. More than that, he likes to inflict pain on competitive riders.
I was about to say, maybe he likes suffering.
I think
listening to you guys talk about it.
It seems like that's the case.
Type 2 fun.
Yes. And there were... I do like the story that you rolled up to the starting location outside of Portland Brewing Company, and you had, it was, you know, Prince had just passed away.
Yes.
Your hat is right now.
I dyed the VC letters for my Velocult hat purple.
Yeah. In honor of Prince.
In honor of Prince.
And so you rolled up at the Bluetooth speaker and you were playing some Prince tunes.
All Prince all weekend.
Right. And some guy that was all kitted out and ready to go for like a really intense training ride.
It's not that kind of ride.
And I was trying to figure out what did he mean? Like you should go home or you should turn it off or just like feel bad about not being like me. I wasn't sure.
I don't know. He didn't even like stick around for me to respond. I didn't even have a response. Honestly, I was kind of like, what? I bet
the equivalent of yelling something out the window of a car and speeding
kind
off.
Kind of, yeah. It just kind of rolled by. Hey, it's not that kind of ride.
Maybe it is for you.
There was a lot. I will say this in retrospect. There were a lot of people that that were like, yeah, all right, nice tunes. And there was a couple even that recognized that it was Prince.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
But it takes at least 5 compliments to make up for one shitty statement. So
that's right.
It's 10.
Okay, there we go.
That's right.
To actually like overpower the negativity.
Right. Yeah. 5 makes it even.
Right.
10 overpowers.
And if I was a better person, I would have given it up by now and thought about something else. But as you know, I like to stew. So
you're petty and small.
Yes. Yes, I am. So the thing is, we showed up and you had your front bag and you had your speakers.
Yeah.
None of us had any sort of specialized.
I had my saddle bag. You had both of your, what am I trying to say?
My 2 front panniers, my roll top Ortliebs, and I also, my new Ortlieb front, what do you call that? Handlebar bag. Yeah, that I just acquired and I was really excited about. And so I had that on. So carrying far more weight than anybody else on this thing, I think. And David Robinson showed up from Bike Scum.
Yes.
He was attired.
Rocketed right to the very front of the line.
Right. And he showed up like exactly as the whole group was rolling out to start this 50 miles of climbing in pain.
Yeah.
And what was it, like 7,500 feet of climbing or something like that? I forget exactly.
I have no idea. Honestly, like even if like the numbers don't really matter to me.
Right. That's good.
It's just the amount of like time or not even necessarily the amount of time that it took.
Yeah.
As it was like. Just time spent with people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hanging out, riding, both with friends and with strangers.
And it's a good thing that's what you valued because we certainly didn't get there first.
We did not.
Matter of fact, we got there last. No, it was great though because, David Robinson, of course, again of Bike Scum, he showed up in his pink shorts.
Yep.
And, you know, he was just there to have a good time. He was there at the beginning. We saw him at the top of the first climb, which was Saltzman, the gravel road that goes up the skyline on the top of the West Hills.
He took a beer break right there.
He did, which was impressive. He shared some with me, gave me a pull of his Rainier.
Nice.
And then he said, oh, go ahead, I'll catch up with you. And then we didn't see him for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so I was worried that he had just been dropped.
I just assumed like, you know, he was still up there at the top of Saltzman. Like,
right.
Well, finish this one.
Yeah.
I'll just take another. Well, I'm done and go home.
And I didn't want to think that of him because we're going to have him in a couple of weeks to talk about his ridiculous adventure out in
the
wild lands.
The Ventersburg 500.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, basically, I kind of wasn't sure if we were going to see him again. But it was you and I and my wife, Adele, and our friend, Steven. And we all went climbing and up and down and up and down. The refrain was, are you ready to go up this hill and down this hill?
Let's bomb down this hill to go right back up another.
Yeah, exactly. It just kept on going. And I was telling David later in the ride that like at a certain point, it kind of like I've talked about train time when you're on Amtrak on a long distance train ride and like the hours and minutes just start to like kind of you start to feel like you're in a different place.
Oh, yeah.
Climbing time is like that when you're just like pushing yourself to keep on going up a hill.
That's a good parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened for me was that every time we'd go up and I forget like exactly how much climbing it was at a time. It was a lot. They were steep inclines, some of them up to over 20%. Those are ridiculous.
Yeah,
fuck those hills.
I think if I were to do it again, which I probably won't, but if I were to do it again, I would find a way around College Ave and Brainwood.
Yeah. Like, David, are you familiar with College Ave?
I don't think so.
Or College Street.
Goes, how does it compare? Because I've been up Saltzman. How does it compare to Saltzman?
It's terrible.
It makes Saltzman a cakewalk.
They're not similar in any way other than they both go up. College Street on the route that we rode is actually you go against the flow of a one-way street.
Right.
Which was weird. And kind of why you got lost, right?
And awesome when you're going really slow.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that and Brynwood is the other one on the west side, like near Cornell. Brynwood is like a 20% grade.
Something
of some
like that.
Something.
It's crazy.
And I had all that weight on the front of my bike, all my panniers, my handlebar back. I was leaning over the handlebars in front as well as I could, and I was still wheeling.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the, yeah, Steven did that.
Yep.
And he had all of his weight on the back wheel, though.
Sure.
So that would make more sense.
But so he has just convinced me to never do this ride.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I've had 70 pounds of kid on this bike, at the back of this bike, and gone up the hill to St. John's Bridge and didn't lift the front wheel. So
that, yeah, well, exactly. Well, long wheelbase will do that for you. You know, it's
that's true.
Yeah. You have a big dummy, which is from Surly, which is their long tail kind of cargo slash kid bike. And it's a great bike. It's really good.
I didn't do any wheelies. I also have a pretty long wheelbase, but my rear tire spun like crazy on it.
Right. And that was where I lost my momentum on that first one was just like, you know, you lose traction and then it's like, well, I guess I'm done climbing on this hill.
Yeah.
It's harder. It's even harder to push your bike though than it is to ride it. That's the thing. Like if I could keep balance, I would have just kept riding, but yeah. So anyways, it was what did we say? No prize but glory. No price but pain. And both were had.
Yep.
Yeah. I think one of the most enjoyable things that we found on the ride was at one point there was a tent with a peanut butter and jelly station. And
that was
gummy
cool.
Bears.
Yeah.
Those guys from, DNR, Do Not Resuscitate, the cyclocross team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're there every year. They hand out, you know, beer and soda and
gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Yeah. So we were really excited about that.
You can make yourself a peanut butter jelly gummy bear sandwich.
They're glorious.
They're delicious.
Yeah. I'd never done it before. And so then we kept on rolling and, it was like 15 or 20 miles before the end. At the top of Council Crest.
We were three-fifths of the way to the end.
We were almost, we were rolling. We were feeling pretty good about, like, we're gonna make this. And Adele had already finished at that point. She had been at the top of Council Crest.
She'd been done for like an hour.
Yeah, and she was, like, just waiting up there for us to arrive. She finished a full 2.5 hours before us, I think. But the Pixie Project, they're a local organization that does animal adoption.
Yep.
And you know of them?
Two thumbs up.
Oh, right. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. My wife is a big animal rescuer. So,
okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she loves the Pixie Project.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I would say at this point, the Pixie Project also rescued us because they were giving away shots of whiskey.
Maybe you guys.
Really?
I mean, I got to
now
rest.
Now I'm
for
a big
while.
Supporter of the Pixie Project.
Yeah.
Shots of whiskey.
And then they also had beer. They had a cute dog that was hanging out with them.
Yep.
And then they just had mountains and mountains of snacks. And we were the last guys, aside from Danny, right, who rolled in after us. But that was because he couldn't find the start.
Right.
So he was way faster than us. As soon as we all left, he passed us again really quickly.
Yeah. He's like, I'll see you at the top. We didn't see him.
But
we
just, didn't see him again. Like, we were the last ones there, and they still had so much food
we
and
got
so
all
much
this,
beer
yeah, we got
and
all
so
this
much
stuff.
Booze. So we were there for like an hour. It was great. It was that. That was maybe.
So are you willing to say how much?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think everybody who drank, you know, I just hung out, which was fine. Like
you had a soda.
I got to rest. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. And snacks.
And snacks.
Right.
Yeah.
Nacho cheese. Like they had two of the like crock pots full of nacho cheese.
I couldn't do the nacho cheese, man.
Okay. Yeah. Not like, your thing.
Not when I'm like sweaty.
That's
and, like,
okay. That's all right.
You know, been working.
Yeah.
It's got lots of salt.
Mm-hmm.
It is true.
It's a recovery beverage.
Like beer.
I did grind. I did eat so many of those red vines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyways,
yeah.
I think you had as much, like everybody who was drinking in our party. And team dead fucking last.
That's right.
Had all the same amount of alcohol at that station.
So. I had your shot. Because
that's right.
if you take a shot, they give you a sticker that says the Pixie Project or just a P on it. And so I was like, hey, if I drink Aaron's shot, can he have the sticker? So I earned that for you.
Yep.
Then I had two more shots of my own. And then I had three beers. And then before we left, they said, hey, give us your water bottles. And they filled them up with beer.
Yes.
So it was everything you want out of a stop on a ride. So anyways, Rond, not fun in the conventional sense, but still enjoyable.
So, yeah, I had a really good time. And there is a part of me looking back is like, I would do that again. Right. It's the whole like left brain, right brain thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the Stockholm syndrome.
Maybe, yeah, or that.
Which is how I felt going downhill. I'm like, I could do this forever.
Right.
And then just cursing myself as soon as we started going up again.
As soon as it goes right back
up. And then going down and being like, this is a lot of fun. And then just being in pain. Yeah. But yes.
But yeah, like, you know, I think of like, oh yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah.
You know, we were dead lasted, but we enjoyed. I would say we may have been as far as like performance, mm-hmm. we may have been the worst team.
It's but all about performance,
as,
baby.
Right. But as far as who had the most fun,
we had the most fun.
Flat out beat everybody.
Yes. Yes, we did. It was a good time.
And because of that, there's this part of me that's like, yeah, we could totally do that again. We could relive that experience.
I'm already looking for a weekend in which I can go back and try it. I want to try it on my own without the crowds and just maybe do it alone and just see how it goes.
When Steven and I did it, you know, we split it up into 2 days.
Because, yeah, you guys were pre-gaming. You kind of practiced.
It wasn't too bad.
Right, because you did it in halves.
Well, yeah, because we did it in two halves. But also, I think because I didn't feel the pressure. Of like a bunch of people around me that like I either one had to impress or two like
prove felt, it is this
yeah,
kind of ride.
Yeah, prove like just because I'm not in spandex or not just not in spandex, in fucking denim.
Right. Well done, sir. Well
yeah.
done.
And wool, you know, yeah. That yeah, I could finish the ride. I don't know. There's a weird dynamic when there's a group of people who one, they're kind of easy to make fun of.
Well, but you know.
But two, also like, I at least got this perception that like, oh, these guys don't really like me, which is probably not entirely true.
Largely not true.
But yeah, but still like, you know, it's the whole like different circles of
different
people.
Tribes. Yeah,
yeah. Different tribes.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like looking at each other.
Got to find the ambassadors.
Is this tribe going to eat me?
Right,
exactly. Can I eat this tribe?
Yep, you know? Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, eat or be eaten, I suppose.
I suppose so.
Yeah. Well, it was a good time. So I would recommend anybody who's in Portland wants some pain, it's out there.
Yeah.
Easily found on the internet. And the second part, which we did not do the next day, but there's an east side version as well. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe we'll do that one next year.
I would like to try that.
All right.
Yeah, maybe I'll do both. No, I won't. I won't. No. Well, there's a place that I can think of where you don't have to climb 7,000 feet over 50 miles to get a tasty beverage.
No, in fact, you probably drop a few feet.
It's closer than you think. Southeast Division N12, the Beer Mongers. We were just there last night. It was a great spot.
That was a great time over there last night.
Yeah.
It was a Blazer game and some hockey game
with sound. Mm-hmm.
Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah. And
playoffs all over the place.
Yeah. The owner, Sean, is a big fan of hockey. So, you know, if you want to watch hockey, it's there.
Yeah.
I think the Blazers got sound. Hockey didn't, but still.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not necessarily interested in either, but I like to watch people enjoying things.
Right. Exactly. And that's yes. And people were enjoying at least three things.
Yes.
So, so anyways, yeah, that's a good spot to be. May 5th, Cinco de Midwest Beers.
Oh, that's right.
It's coming up. So
I'm interested what Midwest beers they're picking.
Yeah, I wonder too. There's going to be tacos. I don't think they're Midwest tacos, but there are Midwest beers. That's the focus of their May 5th event. So it's coming up, and whether or not you're there at that time, it's a good place to
be. I hope Old Milwaukee is on tap.
Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's
that's
best.
A Midwest beer.
Oh, right, yeah. You know, all the hipster beers, like all the cheap ones that used to be brewed in the Northwest are in fact made in Milwaukee now, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. So, anyways, yes, we recommend the Beer Mongers, and they recommend fun. So, yeah. Well, David, are you ready to talk tech?
Maybe.
Excellent. Yeah. We had you in because,
we could talk tech or we could talk nursing. I got this thing on my neck you could look at.
Yeah, you should see your doctor about that.
I was going to say, you're a doctor. Look at my elbow, but you're not a doctor.
No.
No.
Different pay grade, different specialty, different scope of practice.
Yeah. How do you describe yourself as a techie person? Like, how long have you been into tech?
Well, it's funny because I felt it. Some of this story came out when I was doing the replacement on the memory in the iMac, but I was a lib arts major my first round of college, which was a long time ago. And I fell into a job working for Apple Computer because I had a buddy who worked there, and he got me in doing call directing, which was basically catching all the people who couldn't follow the prompts on the phone to get to the department they needed to get to. And, you know, like an average day was like 600 calls.
So like if someone presses zero, that's you.
Well, yes. But also if they chose the wrong thing or if they waited too long or whatever, it rolled over to us. We had a guy who I think his personal best was 1,600 calls on a holiday weekend.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So that tells you how good, because that was in the mid-90s. So that tells you how good telephone routing systems have gotten for one thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of fell into it, got to work for Apple without being a rah-rah cheerleader in Apple. And so I kind of came up through their system. And when you have it given to you without having to pay for it.
Yeah, it's easy to be an early adopter.
It's easy to be an early adopter, exactly. So I kind of continue with that way too long. Because tech support is like any other customer service job. If it's not in a field that you love, it's going to grind on your soul a little bit.
Right, right.
But it gives you good skills, right?
Sure. Like assessing and working, like obviously probably things that play into your current field of
absolutely.
Medicine.
Well, and just being able to talk to people.
Right.
Right. And deal with problems and troubleshoot. Troubleshooting is troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's wetware, as they say in the literature, like people, or if it's hardware or silicon or if it's software, you just have to know what. Okay. Yeah. Have you never heard that term?
I don't think I've heard that. No.
So. That's a sci-fi term.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say that's like Blade Runner maybe.
Well, so it's cyberpunk. It's the mid-80s, late-80s kind of futures now. Japanese are taking over the world because they have
the most techie.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Just like Neuromancer type stuff?
Yes. Okay. That is exactly where that came from.
Okay. I used to have kind of...
Who also lived in Austin, by the way.
Really?
William Gibson lives in Austin.
Okay.
So, which is where I was working for Apple.
Oh.
And went to University of Texas.
Yeah.
So...
Well, if you bring up Austin, let's ask the question, which one is weirder, Austin or Portland? Because there's been some contention about both the tagline, you know,
I am not getting into the middle of that.
No?
Okay. I will tell you that when I was in Austin and reading the Austin Chronicle, which is the equivalent of the Willamette Week slash...
Kind of an alternate news weekly?
Exactly. It was the alternative news weekly. They talked about all the cool stuff that Portland was doing.
Oh.
So I move up here a decade and a half later, and first Willie Week that I open up.
What's that?
Just talking about the cool stuff that's happening in Austin.
So we're kind of scratching each other's backs, really.
Yeah.
And there's some ebb and flow. Like, right. I mean, people
keep
come
the
and
hipsters
go from
weird.
Places. Sure.
Is basically what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. So you have a background in tech. You've been diagnosing problems for years. And so you know how to use it really well. Was there ever a point which you felt like, I've got a lot of tech. I need to like strip down or like get away from it for a while.
Why? Yes, there was.
Okay.
No, probably 18 months ago or maybe a year ago.
Okay.
So I had started using smartphones fairly early. I got my arm broken for me in a motorcycle accident.
Ooh.
And I'm left-handed. It was my left arm that got broken. So I started using a Palm Pilot. It was kind of an excuse to get one. Okay.
Yeah.
And so after I healed up, and I had been kind of thinking, well, it'd be really great if you could get your address book on the computer to sync with the address book and the calendar and have it all integrated.
Back when that was just like the germ of an idea, when it was just like, you know, someday we might be able to put a thing in one place and get it somewhere else.
Exactly. Well, so and Palm had their address book and they had their calendar.
Right.
But then Apple had their address book and their calendar and Microsoft had theirs and everything. So
Apple Newton?
No, this was after the Apple Newton.
But like earliest iPhones and things?
Before the iPhone, yes. So this was like 19...
So post-Newton, pre-iPhone.
Yes, yes. Steve Jobs, when he came back, killed the... Well, he didn't kill the Newton because it was already gone, but he like...
He just said, we're not doing this.
Yeah,
we're not going to revive
simplified
it.
A bunch
we're
of stuff.
Gonna...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So you had this kind of holy grail that I was looking for. It's like everything's going to be in one place and then you don't have to have a bunch of stuff. So it's simplifying, right?
Right, right.
Which seems like it'd be a great idea, except now we have the iPhone and now I'm running away from it. But so I started using the Treo 270. If you remember those.
Treo, that's a phone, right?
That was the Palm. It was a company that licensed the Palm OS.
Oh, okay.
And then they worked with like Sprint and Verizon.
Like a fast food restaurant that moves into an old Wendy's shell or something.
Kind of.
Okay.
So it was a flip phone with a full keyboard and a touch screen and a Palm OS. It was really clunky.
It had everything.
It did. It had everything and nothing worked. much like the fast food franchisee that works into a Wendy's. I mean, it was okay for what it was.
We're just now perfecting the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Well, right. Exactly. Well, don't forget the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
The KFC A&W.
There you go.
82nd and Powell.
Can you fit any more letters into that acronym? So the Treo, she was my girlfriend at the time, but my wife was like, why would you want something like that? And then Treo came out with a newer one, which was better, and I got that. And so I was kind of on the treadmill, right? I was upgrading. I wasn't really thinking about what I was doing because I had left Apple at that point. I was doing independent computer consulting, going to people's houses, helping them fix things. This was in Los Angeles at the time. And so having your email on the go was a really good thing.
Right.
And this is one of the first phones where you could do that. BlackBerry obviously predated them, but BlackBerry was proprietary. You couldn't anything.
You had to be like was it only Verizon or only?
Well, it was – you were either on a government – in the government when you were using it, but it went through their service. So okay. You had – I don't know exactly who sold it, but it was its own thing that didn't mix with
didn't
anything
jive
else
with anyone
did.
Else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we got the Treo 300 series, whatever it was, and I showed her – she worked from home for a marketing company, and I showed her that she could get her email. And since she worked at a home office and she had to travel for business and sometimes she had to go out and do chores and everything, she was like, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And she's not a techie person. So
like that was the magic pill that got her in.
Exactly. Right. And so we used that for
this
a
is
while.
It's like a reverse matrix.
Yeah.
Kind of. And so, you know, this is the steady march of technology. I moved up here. I started working for MacForce, which was defunct and now is undefunct.
Brands come and go.
And the Apple iPhone came out. And I was like, hey, there's been rumors about this for years.
Yeah.
It looks like exactly what it is. I waited
one
for
one button.
Exactly. Because that's all you need. Waited for the second iteration to come out before I got one. Because that's what you do.
Yes. Let them iron out.
Never
all the
buy the first version.
It really is a thing. Yeah. I mean, that's solid advice for just about anything. Like if it's brand new, it's going to be a good idea.
Cars, yeah. Bicycles.
Uh-huh. Like the Tesla, you know? Don't exactly. Buy the first Tesla.
But let the people who have that sort of like not expendable income, because these things get expensive, but like let someone else test it.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, then you go after the prosumers.
Exactly. And the thing about the iPhone when it came out was this touchscreen. And it's real easy to remember now that having no physical keyboard.
Right.
They were laughed out.
It was weird.
Yeah.
How are people going to type?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of this steady stepwise up, not really thinking about it. It's like, hey, this is headed where we need to go kind of thing. And then Facebook explodes, right? Because smartphones become more popular.
Sure.
And
yeah.
More people sign up and it hits critical mass. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around. It's 2014. I'm like, I just spent 3 hours on Facebook.
Yeah.
When I could have been weeding or cooking dinner or, I don't know, planning that bicycle trip that I wanted to do this summer.
Right.
Or paying attention to my kids or, you know, whatever. I mean, right? You know, it's...
And then what do you have to show for those 3 hours of Facebook?
Exactly. So that's what kind of... I said, hey... I need to step back. I'm gonna get a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
Spent $10 at Fred Meyer for a Net 10 flip phone, and it was totally crappy, as you would expect for a $10 phone.
Right.
The audio quality was terrible. The texting was terrible. But
T9 texting, right?
It was predictive text,
so
it was better than T9.
Oh, there you go.
It was a lot better than T9, but not by much.
But you can't just jab at a panel of glass.
No, you right. cannot just jab at a panel of glass. But there weren't any games, and there was no social media on it, and it wasn't
specifically a communication device.
And since the only person who ever texts me is my wife anyway, so I only had to worry about communicating with one person, really.
There we go.
Or so I thought. it was actually a really good exercise in stepping back and reassessing what I was getting out of the constant flow of information.
Sure.
Right. And so I did that for 6 months. Uh-huh. I had a flip phone for 6 months and just did that. And there were things that I missed out on.
Sure.
Of course.
Did you go into it with like, this is only going to be 6 months, or was it open-ended?
No, it was like, how long can I stand to do
this? Okay. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. It was totally, I'm going to see how long I could, it's kind of like the Ront.
Right.
How long can I suffer?
It's a similar exercise. Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
And it was actually a really good exercise. And I'm not saying that this is for everybody, but it was a really good exercise for me for clarifying. I hate using the word mindfulness. I think it gets thrown around way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
Like,
yeah. Well, because it's so kind of like simplicity,
it's
or
ambiguous.
Minimalism.
Yeah,
it's
can,
very
you can define
ambiguous.
It. Yeah, you can define it by context.
Exactly. Yeah. So saying you just have to be mindful about your use is about as useful as saying, be careful.
We'll let you buy booze when you're 21, but be careful.
Yeah. Drink responsibly.
That's it. So how do you, what words do you use then? If you're not using mindfulness, how do you describe it?
Well, that's a really good question because there's not a good vocabulary for it, right? Uh-huh. But basically what it comes down to is, it helped me rediscover the rules for what I wanted me to control the technology instead of the technology controlling me.
Yeah.
Right. So I started looking around, and one of the things that I did, I started doing a Google search on using a dumb phone in 2014.
Yeah.
Right. Using a dumb phone in 2015, best dumb phones and blah, blah, blah. And you find a lot of people talking about setting rules for the usage, like setting their time to go to sleep and the do not disturb. And you also found people doing things like turning off, this was brilliant when I found this, turning off all the badges on your smartphone.
Like, so anything that pops up and says, hey, look at me.
No, it's not the, hey, no. it's not the alerts.
Not alerts, just
but
badges.
But you know those little red circles that show up on top of your applications that show you how many emails and how many text messages?
You can turn those off?
You can.
Oh,
so then just
please.
Like,
it's brilliant.
Up in the corner
I saw that and I was like, why did I not know about this?
Because everything's hailing for your attention, right? You've got like a tiled screen with a bunch of icons and everything's like.
Well, so here's the thing is that like they've done some studies and we get a total little, not adrenaline hit, but we get a little epinephrine.
There's an amount of tension that serotonin. I feel whenever I look at that.
And you see, I've got 20 emails waiting. I should check and see if any of those are important.
Someone likes
Never me. Mind that 20 of them are going to be junk mail.
Right.
Well, even so, like, you've still got that number 20 right there. It's like, I got to get this number off the screen.
Exactly. So you can turn it off. And you can turn it off for everything. And there's a guy who's in the tech press who turned off, like, they use the word ruthless to describe it, which I really liked. He turned off everything.
He ruthlessly debadged
his only phone. Way, yes. The only way he got email is if he went into the email and checked email.
The old-fashioned way.
Exactly.
Okay.
The only way, I think the only alerts that he got was text messages because those are live at the time.
Right.
And phone calls. But everything else was turned off.
And for most people, that's, you want to know when those come in, I guess.
Well, maybe, maybe not.
But you don't need to know when you have comments on Facebook or like when another podcast shows up unless you're listening to us.
Exactly. But even if you don't get the alerts, you have the badges showing, I've got 20 notifications on Facebook. Well, I need to go into Facebook.
Better go clear those.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Right. What's...
Who's saying what?
Exactly.
To or about me.
Who replied to me that I need to reply to instantly without thinking through my position?
Right, right. Yeah. How can I react to something immediately?
Right. So once I read that and it was really freeing to be
this.
Able to open up your computer. You pull out your smartphone to go look up something on the internet, right? And you don't have 30 things vying for your attention.
Right.
And that was really, honestly, that was the best thing. That just turning off the badges and turning off the alerts except for text messaging and phone calls. Mm-hmm. Because then you get to it when you get to it. It's not that important unless you're the president. And if you're the president, I'm sure somebody's going to tell you.
You have a guy
that you have 50 phone calls waiting.
Right. You got a guy with
and
a
which
red,
ones are important?
Red badge on his lapel, probably, right?
Yeah. Like, hey. I doubt you became the president by looking at all your emails and all your Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you, that's, I mean, Donald Trump is, not that I, but he is the master of responding on social media.
Mm.
Or has somebody respond?
He had a reporter, a journalist follow along with him. He's the one doing it.
He's the one doing it?
He is doing, he's the one doing it. It's crazy.
Hashtag no filter.
Right.
So are there any, like, what do you notice? Like, if you, it seems like you kind of got some clarity on what you want out of a phone. If you're looking up and you see a bunch of other people looking down, what do you notice about social dynamics?
Well, so Aaron was talking about somebody who was making fun of, easy to make fun of earlier, right? And I try really hard not to get into the position where I'm thinking, hey, look at all these zombies on their phone, because that's a big internet meme too. It's like the people who get run over walking across while they're texting,
right,
which is a myth.
Doesn't actually happen that much.
It doesn't actually happen that much. If you, there was a thing on either Bike Portland or one of the other transit blogs about that recently. But I try not to judge, because people have stuff going on in their lives. And it might be really important for them to be connected to the people they're with on social media. My wife, I constantly joke, my wife has 1,000 friends on Facebook, and she has an actual ongoing real-time relationship with every single one of those 1,000 people.
That's cool.
It absolutely is. It's not the kind of thing I can do.
That's mind-boggling.
It is, because I'm madly introverted. I'm violently introverted, so that is not my scene. But so I really try – you know, people have stuff going on in their lives, so I try not to be judgy. But what I do find is that I – like the serendipity that I have when I turn the stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of rules that I came up with around the phone after I went back to having a smartphone. One, it's not the first thing I look at in the morning.
Okay.
I get up, I start getting ready, I make breakfast and everything. I actually bought an analog radio.
I was going to ask, do you have an alarm clock that's not your phone?
I do, actually.
Okay.
Yes, I have it's an iPad. But none of my social media is connected through that.
It's a dumb pad.
So all it does is show my kids Netflix.
Okay.
And wake you up in the morning.
And wake me up in
there
the morning.
There we go.
So I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do is flip on the radio, and I have it set to KABU, because KABU has a really eclectic mix.
Local community radio.
Yes. Not to advertise other people while I'm on here.
But, they have a great bike show.
They do have a great bike show.
Matter of fact, next week is Meg Keyes, who is now
from
one of
the KABU bike
show. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Well, shout
Thank
out to
Thank you
Meg
for forward
Keyes.
Promoting. Yeah.
So I turn them on, and it's funny because you get like, you just get random. It's not random. Obviously they have a show schedule, but it feels a little bit random when you turn it on.
Like you're not choosing it.
No, I turn it on at 4:45 in the morning. That's when I get up and I start making breakfast and puttering around and everything. And it's playing for about 45 minutes. And I run into stuff that I would never run into otherwise.
Yeah.
Likewise in the car, if I have to run errands or if I'm driving somewhere, if I'm using a car to go like I did today, I don't turn on my podcasts, because that's another thing that I
it's a rule
deal with. Well, it's just a rule because I listen to local radio.
Okay.
And it could be music, which can be repetitive and stuff that I've had before, or it could be Oregon Public Radio, or it could be whatever.
Sure. It sounds like you're saying like the reduction of choice is somehow a good thing.
Well, I think that serendipity is a good thing, because when you run into things and people and situations that you wouldn't necessarily choose, sometimes there is a happy accident. There is that serendipity. There was a gentleman who was on the bus when I was riding to work, and I take the bus about every 2 weeks or so, and he was clearly altered at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And his mom had died, and he was loud, and he got taken off of the bus by the police.
Uh-huh.
But it was not something that you would see or pay attention to if you had your headphones cranked up.
If you're all wired
and
you
were all, you know, head down and not paying attention,
world,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to be open to the world that's around you.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you do have to hunker down. On my bike commute, I'm all podcasts.
As am I.
You know, most of the time when I'm passing you, I'm listening to this Sprocket or something else.
Oh, thanks.
Likewise. But, you know, podcasts were one of those things that was like, I can listen to anything I want. And there's hundreds of episodes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the first time you discover the internet,
right,
after it blossomed, right?
Holy shit. I can look at cats anytime.
There is so much cool stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
I find stuff. People do things that are really professional looking and really awesome and really creative. And they're 15 degrees from straight. And they look at it. I had a guy that I went to high school with, and he did a parody of The Raven.
Uh-huh.
By Poe.
Nevermore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a yellow cat. And he was 15, I call it 15 degrees off, because it was just off enough that it's like I could never get my brain to do that on purpose.
Right.
And you find that stuff on the internet all the time. And I'm like, God bless the people on the internet who have time to do that, because that is awesome. That has enriched my life.
Yeah.
But you have to make choices.
Uh-huh.
And there was a point where I had podcasts piling up and piling up and piling up. And I was listening to a news radio podcast, and I was listening to a philosophy podcast.
Yeah.
I was listening to this and that and the other. And I had 40 hours of podcasts.
That's about where I am right now.
And I had about 6 hours a week to listen.
Yeah.
So that makes you feel angst.
Right.
Because you're like, I've got to listen to all this, and I don't have time. And then you start ignoring the people that you're with so that you can listen to the podcast and catch up and not miss anything.
Right.
This is sounding very familiar.
So the other thing is besides the rules, is to like start making choices. Like, what is really important to me?
Right.
To be informed on or to listen to. And so I went through and I ruthlessly cut down then the podcast I listened to. You guys made the cut.
Thank you.
So did Why Isn't Anybody Talking About This?
But, oh, yeah.
Because they talk about great stuff.
They do.
They should make the cut before us.
If you're going to make me make that choice. But it's one of those things. It's a reminder that you can't have everything.
Yeah.
Like there's,
right.
But that's the temptation of like the internet or
Facebook.
Yeah. Right? Or Facebook or like any number of these things that are out in the cloud or out, I don't want to say in the world, cause it's not necessarily a tangible item, but yeah, I have infinity in my pocket.
You do, but not everything is on the internet. And that's the thing. So first off, like say you are somebody who is not physically able like we are. There are a lot of, what is it? It's not disability, or enabling technologies, but it's accessibility features.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And so that you can read about folks who are able to go on hikes now because of iPhones and Android phones, and they're
even just speak.
Yes. And it's really incredible. Technology gives us so much good stuff.
Right.
I mean, I make the joke that it's Star Trek: The Next Generation or Black Mirror. And have you watched Black Mirror?
I don't know Black Mirror. I've heard of it.
I've seen the one episode,
not number one, I hope, because the first episode is not the first one you should watch.
Okay.
Especially if you have a weak stomach.
It must not have been. Though.
Okay.
But you're drawing a dichotomy here. Like
Black Mirror is profoundly dystopian.
Okay.
And Star Trek The Next Generation is profoundly utopian.
Like impossibly hopeful. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So technology really, I mean,
but yeah, technology plays a major role in both of those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it gives us so much. I mean, it makes our quality of life so much better. I mean, cotton, just the way we wear cotton today, is not the same as it was 70 years ago, right?
Right, yeah.
Because they didn't have the softening. There's materials technology that we just don't see. It's invisible to us.
Yeah.
Materials technology for our bicycles makes them awesome. Tires are reliable. Bicycles were not reliable 50 years ago. Motorcycles were not reliable 30 years ago. Cars were not reliable 50 years ago. Whatever.
You can design all this stuff using all this tech that we have now.
Exactly.
And that's why it's so good. Because
exactly.
You got this level of precision we didn't have. Yeah.
So it comes down to being aware and having choice.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so Facebook can be really great for connecting with people. It can also be really great for siloing yourself into an echo chamber.
Right.
It can also be really good for distracting you for the things you really want to accomplish.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many people do you know? And I've done this. I've lost time to Facebook. So this is not criticizing other people. This is criticizing myself.
Right.
How many times?
Just telling your own evolution.
Exactly. How many times have you spent 4 hours on the internet just following links and dinking around and doing stuff when you could have been out doing one of the things that you've always said you wanted to do?
Totally. Damn you, Wikipedia!
Right.
And Wikipedia is one of the classic ones where, like, because like Wikipedia over
links
anything
within
else.
Links within links.
Well, it gives you the illusion that, you're doing something really productive and good for your brain.
I'm
which
enriching
you may,
my mind. I'm learning stuff.
Exactly.
But I will never use.
But you're saying choices, like which one is, you know, if I am going to be here for this length of time, that's time I don't do something else.
Exactly. Well, and if you're going to be there that for that length of time, it needs to be a conscious decision that you're working towards something.
Yeah.
Right. Or it is time that you've marked off as just pure recreation.
Right.
Because we all need that, right?
Yeah.
We all need to be able to stretch our minds out, relax our bodies, whatever. Yeah. And not be stretching towards goals, because that's a little too achieverish for me.
But recess only lasts so long.
Exactly. Exactly. When you're, I mean, and you only have so much time. So when you're a grown up, you got to decide what you're going
to
do.
Right. And no one's telling you when recess is over. That's the thing. It's up
that's
to you.
That's the thing. Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the way I came at the rules that I was coming up with.
Sure.
So when I get up in the morning, I don't look at the phone unless it's to check the weather to make sure I pick the right clothes for the right.
There you go.
When I am hanging out with my kids, my phone is in the other room, or I try to make it in the other room.
Not just in your pocket. It's in the other room.
Not in my pocket. It's not, I'm not looking up stuff. I try to do stuff. Now this got me in trouble one time because I was giving my daughter a shower. She's six and I have a 2-year-old boy. And we have a house that got remodeled, and somebody took the door for the bathroom, and they flipped it to the other side because they had put in a new vanity, and the door wouldn't open to the inside correctly.
I think I see where this is going.
So when you flip it to the outside, the lock
yes.
for the bathroom is on the outside. And he locked it.
Oh.
And he's 2.5.
Yeah. So
Lincoln, you need to turn the lock.
Uh-huh.
I can't. Lincoln, you need to turn the lock. I can't. And then you hear him fiddling with it. It's like, turn the lock, Lincoln. I can't.
And he's probably getting more frustrated right. as you're getting frustrated.
So he's in the rest of the house,
right.
And I am in the bathroom with my daughter.
Tell me nothing's like cooking.
Nothing's cooking.
Okay, that's good.
And he's probably not able to open the doorknob to the basement.
Yeah.
But I'm stuck. I can't get out of the bathroom. And nobody else is home.
Yeah.
My wife is gone. My mother-in-law is gone.
There's
so
no
I'm there by
help.
Myself. And it is pouring outside. So I spend 30 minutes inside the bathroom trying to get him to undo the lock on the outside of the bathroom before I finally climb out the bathroom window.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, at some point you just kind of go.
And then go out the garage into a alley that's not paved in my sock feet, mind you.
Wow.
While it's pouring
right,
rain. And then around the block to go to the front door to get into the house.
And it wasn't locked?
No. Well, no, we have a lockbox.
So oh, okay.
There was a key there that I could get
there
in.
We
that's
go.
The only
there
reason
go.
I left the safety of the bathroom. So it would have been really handy to have my phone with me there.
Right.
Because then I've been like, hey, you need to come home now because I'm stuck.
Right.
Or
right.
I could have called the police department or the fire department or whatever.
Yeah.
The fire department. Click.
Right. So, well, they're like 2 blocks away. There, it was like 8 o'clock, or not even 8 o'clock. It was 6:30 on a weeknight. So they were like, "Hey, we get to get out and use our toys."
Here comes the ladder.
Right. Exactly. So those rules can still get you into trouble.
Sure.
Right? But it's about. Hey, I mean, I had to be resourceful. I had to think through what I was going to do. I was like. And that's really what it's about, right? Exercising our brains, exercising our self-reliance, offloading the stuff that we shouldn't have to do. Like, if you don't want to remember that you have a doctor's appointment on the 30th of the month, put that in your calendar, have an automatic reminder. That's awesome.
Right.
And it will remind you a week ahead of time and then 2 days ahead of time, whatever. But if you have to figure out how to get out of the bathroom, the phone's probably not going to help you.
There's, right.
There's not an app for that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of try to choose the places where I'm using my phone and I'm engaged with it. And for instance, on the bus, when I'm riding the bus, again, uh-huh. I like every other time I try to make a conscious choice, I'm not going to listen to podcasts on the bus. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to look around.
Yeah. Do you talk to people on the bus?
No, I hate people.
Okay.
violently you guys, introverted.
You guys violently are so lucky I'm here tonight. no, I'll talk to people on the bus if they talk to me first.
Right. You're not out looking for conversation.
I like watching what people do and hearing what's going on and kind of like seeing what's going on in the street and seeing if I might notice a restaurant that I hadn't noticed the third time that I went on the bus route or the 18th time or whatever. So it's more about, like I said, this is not about shaming people into putting down their phones. This is about, or their computers, because there was internet addiction before there was iPhones.
Right.
Good point.
You just had to be somewhere.
You just had to be somewhere in particular, and you weren't as visible as, you know, now we have memes mocking people who are getting together in social gatherings and all five of them, they're sitting there staring at their phones.
Right.
Right. But, it was the same thing. People would come over to other people's house and bring their computers and
LAN party.
Exactly. See, you're a geek.
It's true.
I can say I've never been to a LAN party.
Then how do you know the term?
Even if they'd return my calls.
Talking about a friend.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody legally distinct from Aaron.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think the choice is very important. So are there any like final closing tips you would give to someone who's like curious about kind of changing some habits or like thinking about things differently? Like,
I mean, you just got to figure out what your limits are. I mean, it starts with sitting down and figuring out what you want to do, right? I mean, this is going to sound a little congratulatory, but in the last couple of years, listening to you guys, I got inspired to do a couple of things that I hadn't done. I went up Saltzman Road. I had not heard of it before. I was like, oh, I'm going to take the big dummy up that and just do it on my day off and find out.
How is the big dummy on that?
It's freaking, well, it's geared low. It's got a 8-speed internal gear on the back. So it's tractor geared. So it's fantastic.
Nice.
I went bike camping on my bike a couple of times last summer for the first time in like 6 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Where'd you go? Fun.
Oh, we went to Battleground Lake and to Shampooey.
Those are both good options. Yeah.
We're great.
I've yet to go to Shampooey.
We went to Shampooey, and here's the danger of digital, because we had used the directions from Cycle Wild before they went defunct on the internet.
Oh yeah.
And they
tell you defunct.
Well, they're not active right
they're
now.
They're done making stuff for a while. Okay, yeah.
Their website's not active right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
So they have you turn. First off, you have to go up this huge hill in Orion City. And I got totally gassed. And then we were looking at the directions, and we start pedaling against one block further up is where we stopped. and then we go across a couple of blocks, and it says to turn right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. We're going downhill. Yay. Woo. Except that you're supposed to turn left.
Oh.
If you had, yeah. So okay. Then we had a long death climb out of the bottom of Oregon City on a street that didn't have like a two-foot shoulder and 45-mile-an-hour traffic and no breeze.
We're talking about 99E.
I don't think it was 99E. Okay. But it was 99 degrees that day. Oh. It was really hot.
Yikes.
And we left in the middle of the day like idiots. So we got inspired to do that. I got inspired to do that. And I got inspired to do bridge pedal with my kids for the first time in 7 years.
Nice.
You know, it was just, but if I had not made time, like if I had not taken some of the time away from just my not thinking about what I was doing and focusing on planning stuff instead of just letting stuff happen to me, it wouldn't have happened. And so in that respect, our digital lives are just like our real lives, right? You have to kind of have a plan. You have to have goals. You have to work through them systematically. You have to work towards them systematically.
So I'm also hearing that there's a shift between being reactive and like reading and looking at what is going on in the digital world and you know, I don't know, reacting to it, replying to it.
Yeah.
And being proactive and deciding how much time you're taking with your technology. And then also, what am I doing with the time?
Right.
When I'm not like absorbed in technology, and what am I doing with the time with technology?
Exactly. Like, so Donnie Cole, right? You've had him.
Yeah.
You've had him on.
We
right?
haven't had him on. We invited him, but he's a busy guy.
So he spends a huge amount of time online, but he's poring over these maps
for
his routes. Well, that's a completely different use of online time than cruising through your Facebook feed.
Just meandering.
Right? Or just meandering. So it's intention, right? So much for the soapbox.
Be proactive.
Well, it's not about prototype, but it's have intention. Like,
okay, right. Intention, not necessarily like, I mean, yeah, they're related, but distinct.
So we should be mindful of.
No. Well, I appreciate
Don't be mindful.
You're so hot on that mic, man. It's intense.
He means it.
He does. And thank you for coming in and sharing some of your thoughts. Really appreciate it. This is the sort of thing I wish more people were thinking about. So I appreciate you putting some words to it.
I think there's lots of people thinking about it. It's just there's not enough people suggesting that it be a show idea that you invite them on. Right.
Well, do you have time to hang out for our headlines and mail?
I'd love to.
We have a headline that relates to this in a minute. Well, the other one's about the bus.
We could do these. Well, let's do these in reverse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, in that case,
you'll have to scroll down.
Okay. Your headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike is fast. I like my bike is fast. I like my bike is fast. It circles around the city lights.
I love that song.
Scroll down more.
Oh, you wanted to start with the other one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Since this relates.
That's right.
More.
Interleaves.
Yes. From TheVerge.com, from our good friend Johnny K.
Johnny K.
How you been? The bicycle has 4 gigs of RAM and lasers too.
Pew, pew.
Nice.
Bikes with friggin' lasers on
their head. This is a bike made by a Chinese company called Le Echo. And the bike is called Le Sevrac. I like how the Chinese company is using French, at least French-sounding names here.
They know where their branding
this
is buttered.
This is a bike with a integrated smartphone that runs an Android OS and has lasers on either side going from the bike to show like the safe distance.
It's like tracking. Bike.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the blurb here. I can't say that converging bikes with smartphones has ever felt like an obvious need, but there's evidently a market for it, given that Acer just introduced a smart camera dedicated to cycling. Le Echo has built lasers into Le Sevrac, which beam out red lines on either side of the bike to give nearby car drivers an indication of safe distance to keep away from the bicycle. It's all very techy in the best possible way, including the integrated alarm system and smartphone app compatibility that will let you offload your tracking data from Le Echo's bike.
And I should say that these are all features that I probably would like on my bicycle. So
they're probably features, I mean, except for the lasers that you probably already have on your phone.
Pew, pew.
Exactly. What do you think about this, David?
I think having lasers on your bike cracks me up.
Okay.
I do, like, there is that part of me that's like, you know, we should just have safer streets, you know.
Like, we shouldn't need lasers to,
right.
to
well,
defend
our
space.
You know, it's kind of like the reason why life paint, you know, isn't really in our public consciousness
from
anymore.
Volvo, right?
Right.
You're like,
right.
Hey, spray this on your stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this is why local politics is important, because local politics gives you safe streets.
Sure.
And mega corporations give you lasers on your bike.
Right. I didn't have a chance to look at the bike, but does it also have like dynamo power? Is it recharging itself as it rolls, or do you have to plug it in when you get home?
I would imagine some of them do. So in the entire article, it mentions that there is a $600 model, and then there's other models up to $6,000 for the full carbon model.
Ooh, it's got a nice futuristic kind of Star Trek design, too.
Oh, it looks like the communicators on there, right?
I do see disc brakes on there.
Yeah, one to beam up. But, it's that is fascinating. Disc brakes are good. Yeah. It's interesting to me, just because, like, I have kind of an old-school, old-fashioned sort of bicycle, but I have all the tech stuff. And I have like a spare battery and stuff all packed away. So I'm using these things. I just didn't buy the bike as a package. Yeah.
Do you ever think about putting a charger hooked up to your dynamo?
Yes, as soon as I have like $100.
Okay.
Yeah, that I can spend on that.
Yeah, sure. they're super spendy.
Yeah. Well, it's just like to changing the current into something that can charge something. And then generally I've heard that smartphones don't charge that well off of a dynamo, but a battery will. So if you have a spare battery, you can hook up one of those and then do the charge off of that.
Intriguing.
But either way,
Tim Mooney talked about that on Pedal Shift.
That's right. He did.
Specifically, he talked about how his iPhone was real glitchy.
Yeah.
Real particular about the charging from the USB.
Definitely. And he was also saying that he prefers to have batteries because battery technology has come so far that it's really easy to just, you know, like carry a battery as opposed to trying to generate your own electricity. Mm-hmm. I liked the idea. Like the reason I got the Dynamo Hub is because I got tired of buying alkaline batteries, and rechargeables are a hassle because you always have to like make sure they're charged and swap them out and that sort of thing. They're all good options.
And so I was always, I mean, for the longest time, I was battery only.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And my contention was a Dynamo you can't work on. So if something goes wrong, like say I'm out in the middle of nowhere, something goes wrong in my Dynamo, I'm screwed.
Right.
You can always buy a flashlight and duct tape it to your handlebars,
there,
though.
There's that.
And you can get duct tape anywhere.
And a flashlight. True. And a flashlight just about anywhere.
Can we get life tape?
And you cannot.
Okay.
And USB lights, I would always kind of lambaste because you need a USB charger of some kind, either
right.
A computer or some kind of AC converter.
For sure.
And then you're stuck at your charging station until, you know, you've got lights.
Yeah. We only sell energy in these really small little containers.
Right, right. And so, you know, my contention was I've got these battery lights. I can get batteries anywhere.
Sure.
Preferably I'll use rechargeables and just cycle through those, always having like two or three spare pairs
of
recyclables. And recyclables are actually lighter than alkaline.
Yeah. Well, and one thing you can do, just in light of choices and you know, being intentional about how you use your technology, one thing you can do is use your phone less while you're on a long bike ride.
Sure.
Something I've been trying. Sure. So, yeah.
Or just turn it off when you're on a bike ride.
Exactly, yeah. So also
who would do that?
Yeah, also very difficult, surprisingly.
But I mean,
but in the end, I ended up with a Dynamo,
right?
You know,
yeah, and it's a sexy Dynamo. It's a very nice hub.
Well, and I wanted one that was like going to be pretty durable.
Yeah,
and so
it built for the long haul,
right?
As it were.
Yes. Yeah.
So what else we got in the news?
All right, so a little piece of criticism for the Oregonian here from our friends at Opel.
That's right. I forget Oregon. Yeah, I forget what this stands for, but they work for public housing advocacy.
I meant to put that on there, actually. So
okay.
I would
go to opal.org, O-P-A-L.
O-P-A-L.
Yeah.
They're great people.
They do good work. And sometimes they're on Why Isn't Anybody Talking About This, our kind of sister show.
Sure. Yeah.
They also record here.
Anyways, the title of this is The Oregonian is Wrong on Youth Pass.
Kind of like they are on some other things.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a matter of personal opinion. I'm not telling you what to think. You make
your
own choices.
They're not wrong about anything.
Make your own choices.
Well, and so this is a piece written, I think it's collectively because they don't cite one author.
Okay.
But is written from the Youth Environmental Justice Alliance.
Okay.
Which I imagine Opal is kind of over them.
You're kind of helping them out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I've got. We've read the Oregonian editorial board's most recent article urging the city not to fund Youth Pass.
Don't give kids transportation.
We are disappointed and outraged that the editors chose not to interview any youth on this issue.
What do they know?
Continue to fail to be inclusive of marginalized voices on important community issues.
That pretty much sums up the editorial board of the Oregonian.
That's bad enough, isn't it? That's bad enough.
And yet,
but here's really, this is the real kick in the pants. And this honestly is indicative of many of the issues I've had with at least one particular writer.
You know what word is inside indicative?
What's that?
I'll let you figure it out. Keep going.
Tiv?
Yes.
In.
Oh, God. I'm so stupid. Instead of speaking directly to Youth Environmental Justice Alliance, the Oregonian referenced YEJA's campaign in their news article, which contained several misleading statements and inaccurate information.
So they panned
rather than like talk to somebody from there, they opened their web browser and took things out of context.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of like what another writer
from
the Oregonian is kind of known to do.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you can listen to past archive shows about that. The thing that I think people need to hear, and this is if you're not from Portland, Youth Pass is the program that helps fund public transportation for students going to high school, because Portland Public provides school bus transport for like grade school through middle school. When you get to high school, you basically have to get yourself to school on your own.
And this is a really interesting article in that it points out that the Oregonian is like, this is the school board's problem. This should not have anything to do with the city. And in this article, whoever is writing this, again, I think it's collectively written.
Yeah.
They come out and say like, look, there's a thing called the Multnomah County Youth Bill of Rights or something like that. And the official wording is in the article proper. But according to that, anything in the Bill of Rights or anything having to do with access to extracurricular activities, access to education, all of that stuff is not just the school board's issue. It's the cities. It's the counties. It's the states.
You might say it takes a village to raise a child.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might say that you'd want to fund the education for the people who are living in the city with you.
You might say
they can make informed choices.
Don't be ridiculous. So OPAL, by the way, stands for Organizing People, Activating Leaders.
Thank you.
Yeah. And a lot of great advocacy from those folks. So I believe Vivian from OPAL, we've had her on the show. Mm-hmm. She was on President's Day, a year ago? Almost more than a year ago. I think she was also the lead on one of the most recent Why isn't anyone talking about this? Because they have a rotating cast of interviewers. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Lead question askers. So whyisn'tanyone.com. We should put the plug out there because they do good work. So anyways, yeah. Don't be ridiculous. Take care of your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just because they're not your kids doesn't mean they're not your kids.
Well, and you know what? They're going to end up taking care of you eventually.
That's right. Yes. You get oatmeal mush every day, three times a day. Oregonian editorial board. All right.
How about a nice tall glass of shut the hell up? You're gonna knit some sweaters, Granny.
I'm sure they're very nice people. Well, hey, why don't we go over to the calendar real quick?
Hey, yeah.
Because there's a couple of things coming up. As we've mentioned before.
Speaking of local politics.
Oh, yes.
The 5th, 6th, or sorry, this, I keep doing this because the way I wrote
6th,
this.
7th,
May
8th.
6th, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16.
May 6th, by bike.
7th, and 8th, Film by Bike at the Hollywood Theater with Off Street Party at Velo Cult Bike Shop on Friday the 6th from 5 to 9:30. Yeah.
And who has two thumbs and is going to be at the street party?
You.
For anyone who can't see, Aaron just pointed his thumbs at me. Yes. So that's that's a good time. We're going to be there. And if you're there, come say hi. Maybe we should carry some stickers or something so we can give them out.
Maybe we should print some stickers.
And by the way, we mentioned, I think, the other, last week, like, hey, your sticker's in the mail. And that's not entirely true because we need to print some more stickers. But they're on the way in the production sense.
Yeah.
So, yes, hang in there, folks. Thank you so much.
They might be in our mail before they're in they're in the mail.
Right, exactly. They're on the way in a long, convoluted path. June 15th.
Sorry, guys.
So I ran into Gerald over at Velocal. Gerald was kind of goading us to lead a ride for Pedalpalooza. And I was like, what am I going to lead a ride about? And he said, how about allergy people? Because, you know, you're an allergy person. So is he. And he recognized me as I was getting my wheel built at Velocult. And he said, hey, good to meet you. And so he's going to be on the show in May. And also, we decided to do the pollen ride, which is people with allergies and people who love people with allergies on a ride. I would love to get like an allergy specialist or an allergist. I don't know.
Sure.
Talking about like some of the, here's some medical things to think about. And then maybe taking a ride. I think we'll probably go down the Springwater Corridor between the cottonwood trees. and then we'll end up somewhere else and hang out for a bit, and then we'll end with a collective sneeze. So it'll be a good short ride, and it'll be fun. So yeah. So thanks to Gerald for making me do it, and I'm really excited about this. But June 15th, 6:15 p.m. at the Veracat Statue down on the South Waterfront near the Hawthorne Bridge.
Esplanade.
Exactly, here in town. And lastly,
The third annual Bike Mechanic Challenge.
Speaking of VeloCult.
Saturday, June 18th from 6:30 to 10 p.m.
That's right. If you want to watch bicycle mechanics get down and dirty.
I kind of want to join the Ooh. Challenge.
Yeah. I think there's an entrance fee, but you could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pay
your entrance fee if you're going
to
be in
I'm wondering, like, do I have to, like, be with a shop? Can I just
Let's make
be
one
a
up.
Mechanic?
We're a shop right now. We're in a garage. There are bikes here. There are some tools. You're a shop.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. The Sprocket Podcast.
Team Sincerity.
That's there right. Yeah, yeah.
Or bicycle repair.
Depending on how I place Team Dead Fucking Last.
Seriously. So there's that. Those are the things that are coming up. And I was going to say, if anybody else, particularly people in Edmonton, because I know there's a very vibrant scene there, but anywhere else in the world besides Portland, if you know of something coming up that we should share, send it in.
Yeah, why not?
We'll tell people about it. Yeah, we'd love to be your megaphone.
Johnny K.
That's right. hang on just a minute here. All right. So we may not have official certification as a bike shop yet, but you know what we do have.
What do we have?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Do you notice how I just gave up trying to come up with smart alecky remarks?
Yes, yes, I did. Yeah. Just one piece of mail this week, although I'm sure more came in, but just know that if it was on Twitter, we probably responded, and if it was in the email, we'll get to it next week. There was this cool thing that Tim Mooney sent in about transit timetables, which, yeah, it's a niche interest, but some people are interested, so we may bring that out at some point in the future here.
Yeah.
Catherine is our new donor, and she signed up. And everyone who signs up, and David is a new donor as well. But anybody who signs up to give us a little trickle of money every month, you know, our lowest sponsorship level is $2 a month. Like we said, we will mail you stickers eventually, and just know we're thinking about you and we love you until then. The other thing that I don't think anybody has taken us up on this yet. I still need to ask Josh, and I need to ask Christopher about whether or not they want, at their sponsorship level, if they want the video of us doing a short form video about a cool place in Portland that we like. Because that's a thing that we offer.
That's a thing. Yeah. Yes.
So anyways, those are things that if you want that, it's there. And, you know.
That reminds me of the photo shoot we did.
Yeah.
How Adam wanted us to stand in line at Salt and Straw.
Right.
Just throwing an idea out there.
People can buy us off. Yeah. You know that we wouldn't be there ordinarily. But
my contention was I wanted a picture of us cutting in line at Salt and Straw.
Yes, but you'll get a video of that. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, thank you very much to everybody who donates. And again, if you're a recurring donor and you know you're in a tight financial situation, don't feel like you have to keep on giving. Pay your bills, feed your kids, that sort of thing. Brush your teeth.
Feed your bills, pay your kids.
That's right. And if you've been listening for a while and you got some extra cash, you know, we right now our rent has gone down, but we are going to be building up to moving into that new space at some point in the future. So anyways, your donations are appreciated, and it really helps us keep things going and us keep getting better.
Keeps me off the streets.
That's right. We appreciate it very much. So thank you all. Well, hey, this has been a good show.
It has.
Good time to sign off?
Sure.
All right. You have a theme for us, I hear, David.
I got a couple of ideas for
your
closing.
All right, so we have choices.
So I'll let you choose so you can be intentional.
I like how you've got a few, so then you're going to say them. They'll be out there, so other guests
people will be able to recycle them.
Yeah, other guests back and be like, oh, I like this one that you didn't do.
Yep. So we got Mickey and Goofy.
Ooh.
You might have to actually pull up a website for this, but there's R2 and C3PO.
Oh, God.
So you would have to have somebody pull up an R2-D2 sound generating thing and then have the other person responding, obviously.
Okay.
Or Ren and Stimpy.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 2503-847-9774.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Thanks to Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny Kay, Shadow Foot,
Katharina Millamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Chain, Sebastian Poole, Mark Holo,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder,
Anna, Christus Kukas, John Wasserman, Andre Johnson,
Shelly and Troy, King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G., Guthrie Straw, Christopher Barnett,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
Catherine, and Mac Nurse David.
Now brush your teeth
and go to bed!